I used to love Paw Patrol. Whenever you're in trouble, they'll be there on the double. Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol. Boys and girls, welcome to Bad Voltage. It's great to have you here. Hope you're safe and well wherever you may be. This is Season 3, Episode 38. And unfortunately, we don't have our friend and compadre, Jeremy Beyonce Sade Garcia. Instead, we've brought on the wonderful George Stuart Langridge Castro. So,
hello, everyone. It is good to be
hello,
home.
George. Hey.
How is everyone doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
It's been a long time. I miss y'all.
Yeah. Well, we don't, but it has been a long time.
It's okay.
I miss you.
I don't miss me either. I'm an acquired taste.
No, I love George. George, you know, one of the things I love about George is that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was telling him about how our son set up a online store. There's this platform called Mighty.Business, which is where kids can go and like create like print-on-demand products. And it's pretty cool. Like the kids are called CEOs and they learn a little bit about business. And George went and bought the world's worst face mask.
It's pretty awful.
Ever seen that our son designed.
I wear it too. Because I'm a dad now. I don't care about fat. I can wear whatever I want. Yeah.
Man, he was so thrilled when you bought that. He was like, I got a customer. It's like.
Has he sold more?
He's sold a couple more. Yeah.
Okay, that's
yeah.
good.
It's difficult because like, you know, you set up this, kids set up the store and then how do they, beyond selling it to their family, like what else can kids do? It's not like they can run ads.
Well, I'm assuming there's like, you know, baby's first union breaking.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
And you don't want them to be like, Dad, I need help with product market fit. And you're like, what have I done?
It's like, what is your go-to-market plan?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Dad, if I pull this slider down, it makes my people have to wee in bottles because they can't have time off. Got to get them trained.
Jack's going to space. He's definitely going to space.
So we're going to do news because it's easy to prepare a news show. That's why we're doing the news. So Langridge, do you want to kick us off with something that's either funny or serious?
So the first thing is something that comes from a while back, which has been revitalized. Friend of the show, Roger Light, a long time ago, built the world's best Android application, which is the floating head of John O'Bacon. And every time you push it, it says things about community. It's a brilliant application. And he has recreated it. The impression I have is that it presumably dropped out of the Android store in like Android version 3 and it needed updating for new right. APIs or something. But he's brought it back and I immediately installed it because it's super duper excellent.
Does it actually work?
Yeah, I'm installing it now. We're about to find out.
Works perfectly. Hang on. I'll bring it up. And obviously people on the thing won't be able to see it. But here, can you see... I mean, I'm holding this up to the camera, and you know how it is when you hold up a mobile phone to a webcam, so audience,
yeah,
and you can't normally see what's on the screen because it's too bright. Here, that's indeed the case, but what you can see is a silhouette of Jono, and the jug ears give it away. It's very much being him, and then you press it.
Community, growing communities, community. community.badvoltage.org.
It's got loads of these. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's called Bay Community. B-A-C-O-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. And we will link to it in the show notes. And I feel like everyone should install it. And more importantly, if you find yourself at a conference or something along those lines, and Jono's there, maybe he's doing a keynote, maybe he's delivering an important bold word about how you should manage your community, or you know, he's presenting to some large organization. What you should do is just hold this thing up and press the button in the middle of his talk, or when he's asked to do a question or something.
No,
I want to see everyone showing up to conferences and showing this app to John.
Oh man! So I apparently left a review on this in 2017 on an older version, and I gave a 4 out of 5 stars. It says taken off 1 star for not being as annoying as the real thing. And the author responds with, "Sorry, I'm not sure I could fix that," smiley face.
Thank you, guys. By the way, this is in itself, this whole last couple of minutes is an example of online bullying, just so we're all clear.
It's a testament to the power of satire.
Roger Light is an incredible human being because years ago when we did Lug Radio, do you remember we did that overly serious ad for Lug Radio Live?
We did a thing called the Lug Radio Freedom March, which was, I mean, it was a quite well put together video. We were making a whole bunch of serious points about people coming together as part of a community and everything. And he did a mockery of it with loads of different haircuts, which to this day I still don't quite understand how he did.
I kind of wish I could put different glasses on you and like click on your face and add hats and
oh wow,
like Mr. Potato Head, Mr. Annoying Head.
Wow, that
cheerio.
Okay, so we're looking for Bay Community Version 2, which would do that. We also want to point out on a slightly more serious note. I believe it's the 10th anniversary now. No, more than that, 12th anniversary, I believe, of Mosquito, which is the open source MQTT implementation, which he builds.
Oh, man, I remember that.
I believe there's other contributors, but he's either the major or the sole serious contributor. It's used everywhere by everything. And he conceived of it at the first Og Camp, which was done after Lug Radio Live. So I feel like
I didn't know that.
Now. Interesting.
Yeah, so I feel like Mosquito essentially is dependent on Jono, on you and I having contributed to it.
Yeah, I think we should therefore get all of the credit.
But yeah, well done. Well done, Mosquito, and doubly well done, Roger.
Yes. Thank you, Roger, for just being Roger. He's comedy gold. Has been for many years. What's next?
Jono.
George, you go next.
Oh, no, George. Okay, go for it.
Yeah. Our guest can go first.
I kind of dug this one because this is something that just keeps happening. Roku and Google are like fighting over money. So Google's just removing the YouTube TV app from Roku. So this happens a bunch of times where sometimes content providers want a certain cut from either device or OS manufacturers, and then they get in an argument. And then users don't get the content they make. So this happens a lot in the US in particular. For example, I can't watch the Detroit Red Wings on YouTube TV because they can't figure out the money in between. And usually what happens is both parties run ads that say, you know, hey, your favorite show is being removed. You know, mail your Comcast or your ISP or whatever. And I just thought it was really interesting because I always thought that stuff like this was kind of old media, right? That it was like, they don't know how to use technology, so they're arguing. But now that everything's kind of consolidated to these large media companies, it feels like, I don't know, I haven't measured, but it feels like it's getting worse about content providers feeling that they're owed a certain amount. And then Google making certain demands of Roku, as in like, well, when they hit the search button, it should go to a Google property. And Roku's like, no, it should go to the system search. That's why we designed it that way. And I just thought it was really interesting because it feels like this kind of, you know, we talk about exclusivity and like video games and like so many streaming services. And it just feels like almost like it's almost like a chore to keep up what service you have to watch a certain thing. I just think it's interesting now. It's getting to the point where it's like, you'll get an update and the app is forcibly removed, which is kind of an interesting take. So I thought this was cool.
Yeah. Exclusivity is customer hostile, basically always.
Mm-hmm.
I get where everyone does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it is.
Yeah. It's just the worst.
So what happened here? Like, I read somewhere that YouTube were expecting special treatment, is that right? Like, they originally said that they didn't, and then there was some leaked memo or something that
it's all about the search button. Usually, like, when you hit search, do you want to go to the system search or do you want to go to YouTube search only, like if you're in the YouTube app?
But the search inside of the YouTube app and the Roku is searching YouTube. That's what I'm confused by.
Yeah, but there's a button on the remote that's like a system search, like equivalent of an operating system search as well.
Oh, and they want that to go to the YouTube search because you're in app.
Yeah. And then it gets a little bit more complicated because at first, from a nerd perspective, I liked it, right? Where it was like Google's saying, if you want to carry the YouTube, and this is YouTube TV, I think people mix up YouTube and YouTube TV all the time.
Oh, this is YouTube TV. This is not a YouTube app.
Right.
Yes. So that
leads to the confusion. But at first, it was like, well, Google's going to clamp down and say, if you want to have a device that has this thing on it, it has to support VP9 on the hardware thing, right? And you're like, oh, as a consumer, I think that's great because I want the highest quality. I want hardware encoding. Hang on,
what's VP9?
Codec. It's the latest codec or whatever that they're using, right? Because they want to be able to push 4K down to these low power devices. Like I have a Chromecast. It's like $50, but it plays like 4K stuff just fine, right? Like it doesn't get all hot like Stuart's Linux laptop when it's trying to play media.
or indeed, to be clear, my version 1 Chromecast which stutters all of the time for no reason. Right.
Trying to play a Cinepak video.
Yeah. So you know, they're like, hey, we want to, you know, for the next round of like approvals, whether you have these apps or not or whatever, we want to choose that. And then from Roku's side, right, I'm also saying, wow, that all sounds great. But who's paying for that hardware? Right. And then Roku, I think, is in a unique place because in a field dominated by FANGs and large media companies, they're kind of the only little, quote unquote, little guy left.
I got to say, I don't understand Roku, and I'm a huge fan of them. Like, Rokus are plugged into every TV in our house.
Yeah.
They've got a great product. It's affordably priced. Yeah. You can get pretty much anything on there. I don't understand how they've been successful because you go and buy a Samsung TV and there's all the smart stuff on there over a certain size TV.
Yeah.
You already get all of the, you know, smart features. You've got WebOS on LG TVs and whatever else. How are they even in business?
Because it's bobbins. Every UI in a smart TV makes you want to stick a shotgun in your mouth. It's the worst.
But so long as you can open the app, most users don't care. As long as they can just get to it.
I wildly disagree with you because otherwise no one would buy Rokus and no one would buy Amazon Fire Sticks and no one would buy the Apple TV, and all of them do. They're not just buying it because they want access to the exclusive TV programs on that service.
I suspect that the reason why these companies are in business is because people want to enable older TVs with these smart features. The thing that surprises me about all of them is that I would have thought that their business would be going out of business as they buy new TVs and they all come with these features built onto them.
Yeah.
But it's a good point, though. I mean, maybe people do. It's a good point, Nat. Like, there's many of these things out there.
Right? I have a Roku TV. Roku is also in that market as well.
Right.
Like, you can go to Costco's.
Aren't they like crappy TCL TVs with a Roku glued into the back?
They're pretty slow. I have one that I put on my patio, and it's fantastic, right? Because you just need wireless and power, and you can watch anything. But 2 years later, it's slow.
I fail to see what a Samsung TV is other than a crappy Samsung TV with a sub-good Samsung TV rather than a Roku glued in the back. That's all it
is,
right?
There's the quality of the TV itself, right? Samsung TVs. Samsung and LG TVs are pretty good.
Yeah, the panels are good. The software.
The panels are good. The software is...
Oh, right.
Actually, I would argue that the LG software is pretty good.
Yeah, the Samsung smart thing.
Samsung's okay.
The WebOS stuff.
But not great. Yeah.
I like WebOS.
But yeah.
WebOS is good.
WebOS is good.
Yeah, so I mean, Roku do seem to be managing, and this is, as you say, it's interesting because there seems to be a he said, she said thing going on about this. Roku have claimed that Google are demanding that the Roku search shows YouTube results above other streaming providers. And Roku are like, we're not doing that.
Yeah. And now I have a Chromecast also. And when I do that, it absolutely puts the YouTube stuff, like all the Google properties go first and then like scroll, 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 scroll. There's HBO.
Yeah.
So I can understand why Roku
don't want to do that.
Because they're kind of always been the Switzerland, right? They're like, we don't really do content. So like we just let everyone do their apps.
We're independent and neutral. Yeah,
other than the Roku TV channel, of course.
Yeah, well, they added that afterwards.
Roku have a TV channel? What's on it?
Yeah.
Just like Danger Mouse reruns.
pretty much. I think it's like basically Bravo used to be. Like out of copyright silent movies, as many as you want.
That's becoming increasingly popular. I think you see all the providers have like the free but with ads movies now. Plex has it now. Roku has it.
This is the other thing. I don't get the TV world in today's era. Like, years ago, you get it, right? You get a TV channel like, I don't know, whatever, and then they charge for advertising. That's how they fund it, right? But
yeah.
Today, I look at my Roku, and there's so many of these tiny little channels that I don't know if anyone watches them. How are they in business?
Yeah.
Like, it's mind-blowing to me. Like, but they're still around. There's this like, nostalgia around television, which I don't get.
There is a big ad, though, in Roku. Like, that whole half the screen is it. They have a huge ad.
Yeah, and I've had fucking Paw Patrol movie on my Roku for the last 2 months, by the way, on the home screen.
Dude, I've seen that movie 50 times, and I don't even know what it's about. I just hear it in the background all the time.
I used to love Paw Patrol. Whenever you're in trouble, they'll be there on the dock. Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol.
Yeah, so who knows what's going to happen if you're into YouTube and Roku.
Presumably you'll be going to buy a Google device instead.
Subscribing to Sling TV, I guess.
You know what happens if one of the benefits of the Rokus, one of the benefits of the Chromecast, for example, is that they're pretty affordable, right?
Yeah.
You can go and spend a huge amount of money. And you're probably going to, there's many people in the world who are living paycheck to paycheck, don't have a lot of money around. And one great way to get access to TV is to buy a Roku or a Chromecast. Another thing that you can do to save money, if you want to eat for an entire year for just $150, is you can go to the Six Flags theme park. Because apparently one dude bought some season pass,
yeah.
And literally went there every day and ate twice a day and basically ate there for an entire year, you know, eating hot dogs that are made out of plasticine and whatever else. I would love to know, one, the impact on this dude's digestive system of doing that. And then two, what is $1.50 a day or something like that?
Yeah.
How is this?
No, $150 a year. Think about
That's probably like a dollar. Well,
how many days are there in a year, John?
There's three. Oh no, it's like 50 cents or 40 cents. Yeah, I'm great at maths. I am.
I didn't think it was going to be that complicated. You'd have to get it exactly, but yeah, less than 50 cents a day.
Making fun of you. I suck at arithmetic.
To be clear, the reason this works is because you can get a year long membership for $150, which is like, and the way you're supposed to use it is like unlimited roller coasters, and you can park for free and stuff like that. But they also, And as far as I'm aware, this is new. I've never seen this in a theme park, although I'm not a theme park expert, but you get two free meals every day when you show up. So presumably they do like a day ticket where you could go and they also give you two meals as part of the day. And this is just that ticket, but every day for $150. But then, And then fine, you spend a year eating theme park pizza and what have you.
Yeah.
And apparently something called chicken balls. I don't even quite know what it is. He says, I got so sick of those chicken balls, Dylan said to MEL magazine, about an especially unappetizing sounding food item. I'd estimate I got them around 150 times, and at five per meal, that's around 750 balls. I don't know that I could ever eat them again.
So who do you think's unhealthier, this guy or the guy that ate at McDonald's every day for a year? Probably the McDonald's guy, right?
The guy who made that movie?
Yeah.
Supersize Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
It can't be good. And to me, the most depressing element of this story is having to go to Six Flags theme park every day. I mean, from what I can tell, it's basically...
Which one is it?
It's...
Six Flags. Well, there's a bunch multiple. Of them. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all over the place, right? The one that there used to be one in... Or maybe it's still here. There's still one in... Discovery Kingdom is in California. And I've never been there, driven past it, and it looks like a Cold War version of Disney World. It looks miserable. but you can have a Diamond Elite membership.
I love roller coaster places. I dig them.
Yeah,
we have one here called Cedar Point. It's like your summer. Every summer, you go to the Cedar Point, you know, to get your roller coaster.
I like theme parks.
I'm going to find out what their hot dog plan is, though. No, but this guy's onto something.
There's a few people.
George is going to be the size of a house.
Yeah, there's a few
George
people.
Got
there's,
bigger?
There's one guy documenting all on his YouTube channel. We'll link in the show notes to the article about this stuff. But yeah, no, it's fascinating stuff. I thought it was bad enough having to go to Carl's Jr. for 3 days on the bounce, and this guy's ate in a theme park for a year.
That's a good point. Yeah, we went to Carl's Jr. 3 days in a row, two meals a day.
Yeah.
And I don't think Axe shit for a week. it was not good.
It wasn't good. And people,
you
shouldn't
Carl's
do this.
Carl's Jr. 3 days a week? Oh, Scale.
Was it Scale? Yeah. Is that where we were?
It was Scale.
Yeah.
When it was out near the airport.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, because that was like the only... Oh, man.
There was nothing there. There was Carl's Jr. There was a Subway.
Which, and if you were lucky, someone had a car, you can go to In-N-Out. I remember that.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
And then there was like a Vietnamese restaurant that was also an aquarium.
I feel I should point out that if your definition of lucky is, hooray, there's an In-N-Out burger that you could commute to, that you and I have different definitions of what lucky is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's just like Davos.
more like Davros. So did you see the... did you see the thing in Missouri about the hacker?
Who I love this one.
No.
Hacked into. So, as far as I can tell, there was Missouri, St. Louis. Is it St. Louis or St. Louis?
St. Louis.
I think it's Louis.
St. Louis. Oh. Well, okay. website which they'd inadvertently listed a bunch of personal information from people as part of the HTML. You know, someone had screwed up the back end code. And it dumped out a bunch of people's social security numbers or whatever. And some guy pulled that out and then reported it to the Missouri government, saying, hey, done this thing. It's a bit of a problem. Busted him for being a hacker. Right? And so obviously everyone on the internet went, lol, this is not the way to treat people. And so the Missouri governor was informed that you've done this thing. And this is a guy who's just trying to help. And this is your fault for doing it. Your team's fault for doing it. And so he doubled down. They're being 100% serious about this, trying to put this guy in prison.
What?
So basically in the HTML source code of the page, there was like people's personal information.
Yeah.
Right. So the journalist guy just hit like control U view source or whatever.
He literally just sent them an email and say, hey, your website has all this stuff in the source code. You shouldn't do that.
The best part, and you all do show notes, right? So we'll put that link in there. The governor's office put together a PSA video on how they're cracking down on hackers. And it is so cringy that, I don't know, like it's fantastic. and it's cool to see like all the entire tech community is like kind of, rallying around this guy. And it reminded me of this thing. Do you all remember back in the day, the CentOS thing with Oklahoma City? There's a city in Oklahoma and their government website was run on a CentOS machine and their provider bounced the service or something. And like a CentOS, remember that Apache page that came up? CentOS. So this dude just outright just mailed the CentOS public email project and was like, you've hacked my computer, take your software off. And then they're trying to help the guy, and he was like, but I'm in IT, and ended up being this huge, long rigmarole. And I think it just shows how disconnected probably people's local governments are from how technology actually works, right? Like, it's actually really disconcerting.
It's interesting. So this all came out of a story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper, and they've carried on reporting on this, and they published a second piece examining, quote, the massive computer shortcomings plaguing the state. So I feel like Missouri appeared to, and their governor in particular, appeared to be telling upon themselves, I believe the phrase is.
Yeah. The best part is when the governor guy is speaking and you see him like on video, he's talking like it's like the world is over. You know, it's like hackers are coming to get you. And it's just.
Yeah.
It really is like this. Is this the Onion today? Like it really kind of hits that. That's what I just couldn't believe. You know, or at least somebody in that government would be like, "Hey, man, maybe tone it down," or like try to save the guy.
You would think, stop digging, but no, they're not doing it. No, it's hilarious. But I mean, we talked a while ago. There was a thing in Oregon. We did the story on this where he was a civil engineer, and he noticed that the traffic lights were going wrong or something along those lines, and he wrote up an email to the Portland, Oregon, or somewhere like that. I think it was government saying, hey, I believe the traffic light controlling algorithm is broken, but if you did this, it would fix it. And they busted him for not being an officially licensed engineer. And this seems like that, but you know, in the post-truth age.
Right.
It's just, oh man, it's infuriating. Oh, all right. Man. What's next?
I mean, it's not like it's a license violation, like what Jono's going to bring up next, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. No. No. I'm not talking about licenses. No.
He's skipping it.
Something He's way more interesting.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Tesla. So Tesla have just topped a $1 trillion valuation, which, Apple? Were they the first, I think, trillion-dollar company?
Apple talk a big game about how they were the first, but the first was Saudi Aramco.
That makes sense. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Apple have a bunch of differing definitions for first trillion-dollar company, which is like, oh, but we're not part state-owned, or we're American or something. But yeah,
right. So I think this is actually a really cool story. So Tesla, they've topped $1 trillion in valuation after the rental car company Hertz ordered 100,000 of its vehicles. And I think this is cool for a few different reasons. One is that this is a pretty significant moment in moving to electric cars, in itself. I mean, this is the largest single order of electric vehicles ever. But the other thing as well is, when I don't know if you guys saw this, but when the pandemic happened and people started coming out, starting to step out a little bit, it was almost impossible, and it still is almost impossible, to rent a car.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these companies went out of business, and a lot of these companies just flogged a ton of their cars because we're just sitting there because people weren't traveling.
Buying a car now is hard. We tried last week. It's hard.
Buying stuff. Like, I mean, it took me forever to buy a bike. Like, it's really difficult to get hold of stuff. So I think this clearly wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for coronavirus. But I'm assuming Hertz basically flogged a bunch of their vehicles. Like, well, we need to buy a load more vehicles. And we're like, well, why don't we go Tesla?
Go electric.
Electric cars and rental company is just a no-brainer. Like,
yeah. What I'm curious about is how they're going to pass on some of the costs. Because, often if you didn't fill your car up, then you get – you get attacked when – do you remember when you used to return VHS cassettes? And if you didn't rewind it, you get a fee.
It's like, I need to borrow your battery bank so I don't get charged $30. I got to charge my car before I return it.
Yeah. I'm curious if, because with some Teslas, depending on when you buy them, you get free supercharging. With some, you have to pay for it. But you need a Tesla account to pay for your supercharging. So I'm curious how this is going to be handled. I don't know what happens if you want to go and charge somebody else's Tesla.
Yeah, I'm hoping you just show up at the supercharger and it knows it's a Hertz Tesla and you just plug in and not have to be jacked. Like,
yeah.
I would think that there may not be a facility for doing that at the moment, but if Hertz said to Tesla, so we would like it if there is a higher Tesla mode button on all of the superchargers, you should do that. And Tesla will go, why should we do that? And Hertz will say, $4.2 billion. Did you read the sign? Right. And they'll be like, yeah, okay, let's do like a higher mode.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and what's interesting talking about superchargers is apparently Hertz are going to, build thousands of their own additional chargers. So you can use the, credit where, I'm a big fan of Tesla, credit where credit's due. This supercharger network is impressive. And they're pretty much everywhere at this point, unless you're like driving through literally the middle of nowhere in the Midwest.
It's illegal to buy Teslas in Michigan still.
It's illegal?
Yeah.
Still?
What?
Yeah. So in the 1960s, they wanted to protect auto dealerships, and this is Michigan and Detroit. So it's impossible for you to buy a car directly from a manufacturer. It's not Tesla specific, but.
Oh, okay.
So I go to California, and like, you know how Jono says he sees Teslas everywhere? Like, it's not. I see a few, like people import them, but.
There are some here. I mean, there is a Tesla dealer here in Birmingham, and I see them around on the streets every now and again. But it's still like, oh, look, there's one. You see a Tesla about as often as you'd see some kind of interesting looking sports car.
Right.
I would say. I mean, not, you know, specifically a Lamborghini Huracan or something, but if you go, oh, you look like a sports car, you see one of them, you go, oh, interesting. You go, oh, look, interesting, a Tesla.
It does, yeah, varies massively depending on where you are, how many you see. There's no doubt about it.
What I like about this as an infra guy is it just, if you had anxiety about, oh no, you know, are we going to drive and there's not going to be a charger now? Like 2 years after they start buying these, that's just.
It will help, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're just, and you know, another rental company might choose another brand or whatever. So, like, the electrification network, I think, only bodes well over the next. Like, I already decided I bought my last gas car, you know, but like, there's still that kind of.
I think that's the thing. You know, I imagine we'd all agree that by, I don't know, pick a year of your choice, but 2030 or 2035 or 2040 or whatever, basically all cars should be electric and there should be no petrol cars on and no diesel cars on the road at all. At some point in between now and that point, there has to come a point when every car you rent is also an electric car. And from my point of view, bringing that date as close to today as possible is a good thing. The hell with petrol. Go away for cars. So this needs to happen at some point. And the fact that it's happening now, this feels slightly earlier than I was imagining it would, but well done Hertz, you know, can't complain.
Yeah. I feel anything that is like a no brainer where like renting a car, commercial stuff, you know, like the electrification of like semi trucks and stuff like that, that I feel will always come first versus, you know, you person who is unfamiliar with the technology, go buy a car because they'll get, you know, there's still a lot of confusion, right? Like, I don't know what plugs do people use? Are Tesla plugs still specific? Are there adapters and stuff? I don't know.
When you buy a Tesla, there's the standard Tesla plug, and then there's an adapter where you can use it on other ones. I think there's one main standard, and the Tesla one is different, but there's an adapter that comes with it. But the problem is that the problem is less the plug, and it's more like the E. So, for example, there's loads of E chargers everywhere, right? That aren't the Tesla superchargers, and they are so
slow, right?
Fucking slow to charge. Like, I remember we were in when was it? Actually, it was we were in Santa Barbara, I think it was, and we plugged it in. We went out for lunch.
So you own one, or is this a rental?
Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you owned one.
Yeah, two.
I know everyone in California has Teslas, but I just had to ask.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the reason why we have two is because when Erica took the job at GitHub, she was going to have to spend a bunch of the time on the freeway in phone calls, right? Mm. So she wanted the stickers so you can go in the fast lanes, which you can't really use anymore.
Right.
And then we were leasing a Cadillac for me. And the lease was about to run out, and I looked at leasing a Tesla instead of the Cadillac. And there's basically no real benefit if you can afford to buy one, then you might as well just go and buy one. You don't get much of a benefit with a lease, and Teslas hold their value really well.
Right, because there's barely any mechanical parts compared to
right. So we got it, and we ended up getting a second one. So yeah, we're very very Californian in that regard. But we plugged it in for an hour, and it charged like 1 mile.
Yeah,
it was useless. So if you're traveling around, if you're doing a road trip, and you need to be able to plug it in and charge it fairly quickly,
right?
And that's I think almost certainly Teslas are more expensive than other electric cars. But almost certainly the reason why Hertz went with Teslas is because they've got the infrastructure,
the network, right? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So that was a smart move.
It's always about the infrastructure, man. Always,
it is
always. I Tesla drove the e-tron, the new Audi, like their sports car. They're canceling the R8, the Iron Man model, and it's being replaced with an electric four door, which is it's a Porsche Taycan. I don't know. I'm not a Porsche guy.
Cool.
But how was it? It was nice. Like Volkswagen is I think they're finally, because you know Tesla's just had this advantage, and if you want to look at another manufacturer, it was either the ugliest car ever or it was a GM where it was electric but slow. I don't know how you make a slow electric car.
Right.
Or like the Nissan Leaf.
There's the Leaf, I was going to say.
Why are they so slow? I don't get it. But it seems like now, I think now that, you know, Volkswagen is like the largest automotive group in the world, right? And it's one of those, okay, now the rest of the industry has finally figured it out. It was nice. I'm not ready to buy one because it's $140,000. But, you know, when they make an electric AE3 or something, then, yeah, I'd definitely check it out for sure.
Well, and part of it I thought that was clever about what Tesla did is they didn't just make an electric car. They rebuilt the idea of a car.
Yeah.
And it's little things like, for example, in the Tesla, I'm sure some of the cars do this as well, but if you sat at a green light, sat at a red light, when it goes green, it makes a little bing sound. So you know that the light's changed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you're not sat there and you have to wait for the dude behind you to beat the horn.
Your horn. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like all kinds of like little things like that, which make a ton of sense. And then the stupid things, like apparently they built some AI that can recognize a million different raindrops and adjust the wipers. It's like, come on. You don't need that.
It has a native Spotify app, right? Like,
it's like built in, yeah.
Hip spot. Yeah.
And the fact that you could trap it in a circle of salt is different. Did you see that?
Vaguely. So, you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, right? What was this again?
It happened a while ago, but yeah, this is like, we've talked in the past about how you can fool image recognition algorithms relatively easily by getting a picture and randomly perturbing pixels until it thinks something else because you don't really understand what it is it's recognizing. So you can show a picture which is very obviously a picture of a banana and have it recognize it as an apple because you've tweaked the picture a bit. Well, Tesla's doing a whole bunch of AI recognition of where the lines are on the road and stuff like that.
Right.
And you could fool this thing by putting a white line around it on asphalt or whatever.
Yeah.
And so someone took a Tesla and then drew a line of a circle of salt around it, which used to keep demons in medieval times, right? And then said, look, it's trapped. And then you couldn't drive it around because it was trapped. It wouldn't go anywhere because it thought there were white lines for the road all around it. And so it wouldn't let you drive over them. And on the one hand, it's obviously done amusingly. But on the other hand, that's just, it's weird. No, I don't even have a car. So
lately, all the car manufacturers have kind of stopped talking about autonomous driving. Like after they made all these promises and stuff, now all of a sudden it's like, well, it doesn't really drive itself. That's ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's the only prediction I've had on this show that so far has come true,
which is
we will never have fully autonomous self-driving cars.
No,
we won't.
I agree with that. I think you can get close enough to save a good amount of lives. I think for long hauling.
Things like when you again, I'm sure the other cars do this, but one of the things that's nice about the Teslas as well is like if you're driving, you go into the lane, it will automatically pull you out of the lane, even if you've not got auto drive on. Little things like that make sense. But the problem with it is that you put on auto drive and it'll be, and you know, you got to like, it'll bug you to waggle the little stick thing to make sure that you don't just go to sleep. And then if you don't waggle the stick, then it'll punish you and there'll be no auto drive for the rest of the drive.
Oh, and, man. Yeah.
But the thing is, and it'll generally be working fine. It's really nice in stop and go traffic. But then every so often, it will just randomly break.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what the fuck was that? And at that point, your trust is gone in the auto. I bet very rarely use it.
I mean, hands up here, computer professionals, if you trust computer software to do what you want and not fail.
No, absolutely not.
For audience, no one has their hands up.
Absolutely not.
If you're listening to this, right, people listening to this, do you have your hand up at the moment? So, no. If anything, we know more than normal people that this stuff is not to be trusted. And normal people don't trust computer software because it's all baffling and weird.
Right. So let me qualify. There's certain stuff like there's a reason software systems on airplanes are so expensive and slow. It's, you know, it's like – yeah, and you know, like pacemaker software and all that. Like, there's
written
people
in COBOL, right?
Yeah, like doing, like making it really because there's so much testing and you know the software that runs on the machine. That generally seems fine to me. It's like the general software that's written by a startup that's like VC driven. That you're
importantly,
like,
importantly, you go and talk to someone who writes pacemaker software, and you say, "So, what's your feeling on move fast and break things?" And the things you break will be your nose for even suggesting it, right? It's like, massive no-no on this front. But that's how, like you say, this is startup stuff, and this is all the people who are doing self-driving cars, which is way harder than.
My friend rented a Subaru.
Make this thing beep.
It was like a nice crossover. It's like a dope car, and it came with like the enhanced package, which is similar to what Jono's describing on the Tesla. And it has a little camera like on the dash that like watches you, you know, to like determine whether you're asleep or not. The thing is, you can't turn it off. And of course, it's buggy. So as you're driving, if you turn your head as in to check your blind spot, it bings at you. And it doesn't do a nice little bing. It's like, warning, turn head, pay attention, pay attention. And you can shut it off, but it's buried in the settings. But every time you restart the car, it resets the default setting. So every time you start this kind of car up, like you have to go in and turn it off. And I was like, man, that sounds awful. He's like, don't worry. I went on the internet and, you know, went on the Subaru forums or whatever. And someone figured out you just put a piece of tape over the camera and the whole system just shuts off. And I was like, wow, this is where we're at right now. So
this is the current state of the art.
Just
this
awful.
It's like that XKCD with, you know, the infrastructure stack and then there's that little thing holding everything up.
Yeah.
Some guy in Nebraska or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. NTP.
Yeah.
What's next?
Yes, what's next? Jono, have you even done one yet?
I literally just went.
Oh, did you?
Tesla.
Oh, crikey, okay.
you're an old man language.
I am an old man. So did you see truth.social?
Who didn't see it? Oh my god. There's so much irony like, packed
my,
up in
I
this.
I got my check mark already or whatever.
So to very, very briefly summarize this story for those of you who may not have come across this. The previous president of the United States was talking about how launching his own social network. And as far as I'm aware, it wasn't actually officially launched, but someone discovered that A, it was going to be called truth.social. B, it was at truth.social, and C, it was there, and you could just go in and sign up. So this got publicized. Loads of people obviously went and signed up and grabbed all the names, like Donald J. Trump and what have you. it got completely overrun with people who are just like, lol, we're not standing for this. Let's seize a bunch of really important names and tweet rubbish on it. And then it turned out to be a very thinly disguised fork of Mastodon, where they ignored the software license for it and have not released their changes, which they are obliged to do. And then they shut it all down and went, oh, no, that's not supposed to be released. They deleted all the accounts from it and shut it down.
This went well.
It did not go well. It's just the worst possible software launch for anything.
That is, I mean, is that worse than Cyberpunk?
I think when they knew, so they knew obviously the license because, you know, someone did the Git clone, right? Like
someone, you know, had to know.
Yeah. And so, yeah because they were removing references to like, yeah, Mastodon and us to make it look. So, you know, there was like not good faith. They were intending to launch it and declare it a proprietary thing that they made on their own because, you know, for them, they don't really have the expertise to be able to, you know, build a Twitter clone overnight. Like you can't, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Twitter can't. They needed open source libraries to be able to build a thing to begin with. So
it wouldn't surprise. I can completely see that this is how it went down. Donald Trump is like, okay, I don't have access to social media. Let's build a social media network. And then talk to one of his lackeys and they say, okay, we'll go and find someone. They find some company and he says to Donald Trump, okay, who do I put in charge of this? What's our budget? And the budget's like $100,000. Like, I have no doubt that the budget was probably so tiny and so ridiculous. So they go and find some company to do this who doesn't really understand open source, has no budget to deal with it. So they think, oh, there's this thing called Mastodon. We'll just go and get that. We'll change it all around. No one will know. It's all free, right? Yeah. It's freeware. It's like that thing from the early 90s.
That's what people do.
I agree with you, apart from the fact that I suspect that it's even possible there wasn't a budget of $100,000 at all and they were doing it for exposure.
Right.
We're not going to pay you.
But we might at some point mention that you built it first and then you'll score loads of exposure. Credit,
you know, for when
us.
The next person needs to build their own Twitter client.
Yeah.
You'll be the guy. Yeah.
So is truth.social coming back?
No one seems very clear. I mean, it's possible that it the whole idea crashed and burned so hard that it won't come back again.
But, yeah. But where am I going to get my truth in a social setting?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I mean, Jonah, we joked about licenses earlier and stuff, and I don't like, you know, I don't like talking about licenses either, right? You see Louis Villa walking across the conference center, it's like, uh-oh, think of something else to talk about. But you know what? The shit's important. Like,
that it's totally important.
The licenses need to be enforced, and like, you know, just seeing... I read the post from Bradley Kuhn, and I was like, Bradley, go get him. Like, you know?
Yep. Like, it's a contract. People forget. Like, they don't think of a license being a contract. You wouldn't break a contract if you had, like, a client or something like that. Don't break the contract when thousands of people are building software, right? I agree. It's really important. So.
Agreed.
Yeah. So good for them. Good for them. Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. So, I agree.
George, what's next?
Ooh, let's see what we got going on. Oh, happy 20th birthday, Windows XP. I noticed both of you avoiding that one.
no, I mean, it's, you know, well done. 20 years ago, still running.
I thought it was really interesting as soon as you read the article is the disconcerting amount of Windows XP that's still being used in the wild. I thought that was interesting. I mean,
it's been out of support for 7 years. It came out.
Yeah, we're old, dude.
It came out October the 5th, 2001. So those of you thinking about it, remember where you were on 9/11? 6 weeks after that, Windows XP came out. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah,
it's crazy, isn't it?
Was green
and it's been out of support since 2014, and there's still loads of people using
it. Still trying to get people to upgrade.
How do they know how many people are still using it? Is it still getting updates?
It doesn't get updates, I don't think, but I'm sure people measure like browser.
So things like Stack Counter are looking at it. So Stack Counter gives Windows XP a 0.59% share of Windows. And you go, okay, so 0.6% is not that many, but there are billions of Windows machines. Net market share gives it 0.26%. So it's less than a percentage point, but that's still pretty huge. Like,
way more to Linux desktop users. What do you think?
Oh my God, that would be depressing. Yeah. Dead Windows XP machine. and then Linux desktop.
So the article we read was on Bleeping Computer, and they looked at themselves at their own analytics, and in this month they had 19,000 unique visitors using Windows XP. Yep. In Armenia, Windows XP is the most popular operating system.
Oh, interesting.
More Windows XP users in Armenia than all the other versions of Windows put together.
But you know what's interesting about this is it's like, it's the psychology of how we look at technology, right? Like, so for us, we obviously know this is stupid, right? Just go and get a newer operating system of your choice, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But I think for most people in the world, they look at a computer in the same way that you'd look at a calculator, right? You don't think about which version of your calculator software you've got running. It's just that device that lets me connect to the internet and go and look at cat pictures. And they can largely still do it. The fact that you have to click through 800 pop-ups when your computer boots to get to you got to switch on the internet to get to it.
Yeah. It's I was at my doctor's office and they had Windows XP and I was like, you should probably upgrade that, you know? And he was like, you should probably get some more exercise then while you're here, you know, with your
My doctor's office.
Yeah.
They all paper records. Paper records. It's just insane.
Man, that sounds awesome.
On the other hand, you know, you never accidentally delete them all, do you?
No. Although you can delete them if you start a fire.
Well, yeah, but that's that also breaks the computers too, right?
Yeah,
right. You're aware of this. You set fire to a hard drive, paper. It also removes the disk.
How do you all feel since we're on the do you guys talk about Windows often on the show? How do you feel about Microsoft's new thing with Windows 11, where they're like, you got to get new hardware and it's got to be like TPM enabled and blah, 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 blah. I can see what they're going for, but the execution kind of leaves something to be desired.
I don't understand why anyone in this day and age would choose to use Windows. I get why people have to use Windows. It is it's horrendous is the nice way of putting it. They made some good strides with Windows 10 to make it easier to use, but it's like a thin, there's like a veneer of like easy to use stuff, and then when you want to poke beneath the surface, then it pulls up some Windows 98 dialogue.
Well, yeah, I mean, seriously, if anyone goes and gets Mac or whatever, then they can, if they want to play a game, they can play Myst, so that's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that the Mac. By the way, you seem to think that I am like a super fan of a Mac.
You are, dude. You're super California. You're like, I drive a Tesla. I have OS 10. I have a vineyard. You know,
if you had to use Windows or a Mac, what would you choose?
I prefer Windows over Macs. Yeah.
You would choose Windows over a Mac.
Yeah, I have a Windows 11 machine.
It depends what I'm using it for. Yeah, I mean, if I'm using it because I want to use it with other people or because I want to play any games at all, then yeah, Windows machine every time.
Outside of gaming, if you want to just do your work, you want to go to work and do your job, Windows or a Mac?
My job, I'd use a Mac, yeah.
Right.
If I get WSL, I'll pick Windows.
But yeah, I'll pick Windows. If I don't want to spend £1,000 on a computer, I'll pick Windows. Yeah, man.
Yeah, surprise! Windows is a fantastic Linux distribution.
There is a reason that the Mac is at like 5 or 10%.
It even looks like KDE. I have Windows 11 on a machine. It's pretty nice.
Yeah,
I don't.
I'm not.
It still
not
has
convinced.
Some flaw. Like I still prefer to use Linux, but
hate using Windows every time. Yeah. Oh, God, it's god awful. It's poorly designed. It's slow.
Yeah.
It's less buggy than it used to be. And and to be fair, Windows, of course, enable computing for the masses, and credit where credit's due. But I would never choose to use it today.
Yeah, well, now thanks to Valve, I'm doing all my gaming on Linux, too.
Yeah, it's great.
Come on, Bungie, I'm waiting for... Did you all order a Steam Deck? I know it's not on the thing. I hope you all ordered a Steam Deck.
I didn't, but I know, like... Pre-order one. You talk to Popey, he's like, yeah, immediately.
I honestly,
I don't play enough games to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, I beg Popey every day about it. I'm like, Popey, just a few more months.
Is that, it's like a Switch type thing, right? Like
except it's a PC and it's Linux, and then everyone's like, oh God, right? But then it's perfect because they work with AMD to make the hardware, right? So, and Linux is really good on working on one computer. Like, you know, sound's going to work. Right? Like, you know, all the stuff because they control the hardware and they're the actual manufacturer, you know, and they've been working on like kernel enablement and stuff for years and it's all just finally coming together. And it's all the stuff I've been really into as a hobby. It's just, we didn't know there was going to be a device at the end of it. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and they're like, this is the end state. And I was like, I'm in. It looks really dumb. Unfortunately, like, you know, like with buying cars and stuff, hardware availability, like if you were to go order one now, it'll say like Q3 2022.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of you can get in right at the beginning. Yeah. I didn't because I don't play enough games, but it also, I mean, it looks really big to me.
It is. You say
it's like
Xbox,
a Switch. You're like, yeah, it's like a Switch, but it's not. It's like a foot and a half long and it weighs as much as a neutron star. But, you know, it's cool.
And you plug it in and you get a KDE desktop. I was like, whoa, cool. Like, you know,
you plug it in.
Like, it's a PC, so it has a USB plug on it. So if you hook on a hub and you put a monitor and a mouse and everything on it, everything just
convergence.
I just realized, Stuart, you worked on this.
Everything old is new again.
I know.
So you know, like when you in the PC gaming world, of course, people get really into, you know, which specific RAM they're using.
Oh, yeah. All my stuff has RGB on it. It's dope.
Like, how, what does this look like in terms of, like, for example, I mean, I'm looking at the website, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of the graphics of it, for example.
Yes. Like,
is it decent?
So this is really interesting because this is the outside of, so the consoles, the AMD tech behind it is RDNA 2, and the PS5 and Xbox have it. So this is a small version of that. And it was custom silicon that they worked on with AMD to get under a 15-watt TDP. So for its size...
What's a TDP?
The power envelope. Total something power. Nuts.
Okay.
I wasn't expecting that question. but the interesting thing is the screen is only 800p, right? So and I have a thin and light AMD laptop. It's like my work Linux machine, right? And for 720p graphics and stuff, it's fine. So if you see the videos, they're playing like that Star Wars game. They showed Witcher 3 on it. And the nice thing for you, if you're a PC person, you can just buy it and your entire PC collection is there. Yeah. The interesting thing, I think, and like it is with lots of things, it's about software, right? So they've recently been publishing things like, here are guidelines to tell the people publishing PC games on Steam, like, hey, maybe you should make it easier. Like, you know, you ever like fire up PC games and you have to like configure the thing for 30 minutes before you can actually play it. And you're like, oh, right. You could just turn on an Xbox and it works, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is a PC that's trying to get that experience.
So if you put Steam Deck mode into your game, you can have a start and go, if you're on a Steam Deck, you'll have this environment variable defined or whatever. So at which point, automatically configure it with the following things, because you know that. So you don't have to make people pick, I want good quality graphics, or I want to turn the shadows off, or I want this screen resolution, whatever. You know all that if you know you're on a Steam Deck.
Yeah. And they added something actually to the Steam API. So the game developer can just say, am I on a Steam Deck? Yes or no.
Oh, yeah. It's on the Steam Deck. It's on the Steam API. Yes, you're right.
Yeah,
Pretty impressive.
It's, yeah,
it's a sleeper. Like,
you know, it really looks like a Switch.
Yeah, for gamers, I think everyone is like, "Oh, there it is—the immaculate device." So, that's like the thing we've been waiting for.
Now, on the one hand, I get, you know, it looks like a Switch is some of that is because the Switch is super duper popular, and so you look at it. But on the other hand, if you need to design a thing which can take 60 like people across the city all in one go, whatever you design is going to look kind of like a bus. And this is the same, right? If you're designing a thing where someone can hold it in their two hands and they can control a thing and there's a screen in it, it's going to look basically like an Atari Jaguar. Right? Do I mean the Jaguar or do I mean the Lynx?
Lynx. No.
Yeah.
Jaguar. Lynx.
It's like,
used to take cards.
From now on, every PlayStation controller kind of has to be that way, right? Like, that's just...
That's what PlayStation controllers look like now.
Yeah, that's just what it is. And I think it's interesting.
Go ahead, George. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say they're keeping the platform open. So an Alienware, anybody else, them and AMD, they're kind of opening these up as like a new category of devices, just like a gaming laptop and a desktop.
Oh, no. So it was going so well until you said that. That means it's going to be a fucking 3DO or a CDI.
I don't know. Well, remember Steam Machines.
Yeah. Like, that's the point. It's a handheld Steam machine.
There's a catalog of failures up to this point that I think are lessons learned. Well, I think by them making a device, a specific device supported by them, is like a reference. You know?
Do you think it's gonna? Because the only company that's really been able to make handheld work is Nintendo.
Yeah.
Sony have tried. Microsoft haven't tried, have they, with the Xbox? I don't think. I don't remember seeing anything.
I am willing to bet. So Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, tweeted a picture of him playing it, you know, and he was like, this thing is awesome, you know? And I was like, you know, right now there's someone at Xbox doing the math on a device like that, but that's tied to your Xbox subscription. So you just lease it like you do your Tesla, and you pay Uncle Phil $25 a month and you get every Xbox game on a handheld in a subscription model.
You think they're doing the maths on it? I'm prepared to bet tenner right now that there are people on the Xbox team who have a portable Xbox in their drawer right now, which they're going, we don't think we're going to put this on the market. Yeah. People have made them. There's like a little subculture of people taking existing games consoles and chopping up the circuit boards and realigning things putting them in a handheld format on YouTube. There's loads of really interesting videos. People go like, here's my portable Xbox. And you think,
it's really cool.
Wow, it's really interesting to watch.
To answer your question, Jono, here's what I think is interesting is PlayStation's back on PC. Well, is actually coming to PC, right? Like they've God of War. Now it's going to be the older games, right? Like obviously they're not going to cannibalize their own PC sales, but I could totally see you buying a game. It's on PS5 for 2 years and then eventually it gets ported to PC. So they get that back catalog of whatever. But I'm expecting to play in December when I get one, I'm expecting to play God of War, you know, and then in my brain, I'm like, what is Sony going to think about this? And I was like, well, they get to test the market without risking the hardware because we know hardware is expensive. Right.
Oh, hang on. So you're not talking about getting a Steam Deck and then running a PlayStation emulator on it. You're talking about getting an official real proper copy of
the God of War PC port.
And, this is the proper new God of War, not the original God of War. Because I thought you were talking about running like the PSX emulator or something. Because God of War came out 15 years ago, but I forgot the new one is also stupidly just called God of War.
Yeah. And I know that there's people working on emulators. Like, obviously, it's a kick-ass emulation machine. Like, you know you'll install LibRetro, you know, which is on Steam already. Like, you know, the emulators are on Steam, so figure it out. Linux people, I'm sure someone will figure it out.
I'm curious to see if it succeeds, because PC gamers are notoriously persnickety about these kinds of things. This is a consumer device, right?
Right.
And I'm just curious. Like, I've never...
What I think's interesting is... At least partially, I think what Valve would like to see is that this makes out beyond the sorts of PC gamers who are all like, I want this kind of RAM. Because honestly, most people are not necessarily like that. They're just not playing that sort of game. Maybe they are playing them on PS4 or PS5 or on the Xbox or whatever. But gaming's, you know, more than 50% of people are gamers. It's a huge market. It's bigger than, the movie industry. It's, and I don't know whether everyone, whether when people talk about the gaming industry, they talk about a lot of it being on phones or tablets or whatever.
Yeah.
But the sorts of hardcore gamers you're talking about, Jono, are a small portion of the actual gaming market. But I don't know whether any of them are doing PC gaming. And if you, and maybe they're not, because they don't want to have to go out and buy. I was looking at like video cards and RAM and things like that, and they're all called stupid names like Vengeance. Yeah. It's like, I just want some RAM. Shut up. Why is it called
Unbreakable Death RAM? It's just like half naked on the cards. And stuff. It's just the anime girls anymore, but it's definitely.
And they're trying to appeal to a market which hasn't been the dominant market in gaming for a decade, if not two decades.
Well, it's not true anymore, though, with esports stuff. PC bias. If you look at both console markets, they're bigger than PC, but PC is bigger than each individual console, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, but I think the point is that... I don't mean the demographic they're going after is not PC people. The demographic they're going after is not 18-year-old boys.
Right, right. 14-year-old boys. I want to get my, you know, my son a casual thing.
I just don't know Valve know how to build something for a broader consumer market. Like, that's not easy.
And the software.
Nintendo and Xbox and Sony have it's taken them years to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think a lot of people are calling it the Switch killer, but I think it's a different market, right?
There's it's going to be kill a Switch. Yeah.
Like, for hardware wise, it is sure, but like, I mean, nobody cares about that. Right? Like, we all say it's about the hardware, but
I don't know. See, I mean, John, are you aware that, Steam has more monthly users than Xbox or PlayStation, right?
Yeah, it's pretty huge. Esports is really...
I'm talking about in terms of hardware sold. There is no way the Steam Deck is going to kill the Switch. No way on earth.
Probably not.
I don't think it needs to be successful. I think...
It's a different audience, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Nintendo nerds are always going to have their stuff, right? Like, if I had to choose a device for my kid, it would be a Switch. Like... But for I'm going to pick Steam Deck.
Yeah, you're going to go Steam Deck. Yeah, it's just exactly. Like, it's a casual gaming device, the Switch. And you can get some more involved games. But I would imagine that most of the games on Steam that get played are going to be much more involved games, like God of War.
Right, right.
So, but yeah.
It will that's cool. It'll be interesting to see how
it's definitely
out.
Interesting. This thing is... There's been a... You know, a community building around it too. And like,
it's really cool.
It's just fantastic because the promise of Linux gaming has always been like this land that we're never going to get there. And it's always going to be a pile of bugs, but you'd be surprised once you have hardware that's supported by the manufacturer that has the drivers, just what a kick-ass experience you can get, you know? And that's what I'm hoping for.
One question for you, George, about this. And then we're gonna have to wrap this up because we're running over a little bit. So, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time, because again, I'm not much of a gamer, but when I have installed Steam and played with it a little bit, the games that you get vary massively depending on the platform that you're on, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Steam for the Mac is very different to Steam for Linux, very different to Steam for Windows.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff are you going to get on this? Is this going to be the Linux games?
No, this is everything, because it uses
this
Proton.
Is everything.
Because of Proton.
Right. So
what's Proton?
So Proton is Wine, plus this thing called DXVK, or there's a DX12 version one. I don't have time to get into it. Valve and Codeweavers and Collabora, they've been spending the last 5 or 6 years just getting a seamless, you click and it runs a Windows game on the GPU. And when it works, it's incredible. Like, you can't believe it, right?
Wow.
What's interesting is Steam Deck, I'll play the God of War, which is a PlayStation exclusive, but then I can play, I've played Gears of War Tactics, which is an Xbox game, because they all support PC. So you have this interesting dichotomy, and then it's like, so what if it's too successful? You think Xbox will maybe not want to be involved in Steam anymore? What about Sony? What are they going to do? So it's kind of interesting, but for now, when this thing's launching, assuming it does what it says it does, like, I'll be able to run just about any game, casual games. And if you follow Twitter, there's a Steam Deck account, and just, it just looks almost too good to be true. I'm trying to temper my expectations, you know,
because it is Linux. But, you know what we'll have to do, George, when you get it, can you come back on and do a review?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I was there at 9:01 to order mine.
And if you reserve one today, they ship in a while, right? But it says that you can reserve today and they ship in December, but...
I don't believe that to be true at all. I believe you can reserve today, and I believe there are people who will be getting their Steam Deck in December, but you are not one of those people. Popey is one of those people. You are not.
Yes. I'm really hoping, because they have to ship the software as part of the thing, right? So...
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll get a little bit of that goodness on my Linux desktop and be a happy guy playing. Well, this if is I can play God of War on my Linux desktop, I will take a screenshot of it and I will tweet it, and then...
I think it's really interesting. Listening to people talking about the Steam Deck. John, I like you. I'm not enough of a gamer for it to be worthwhile, but I like the fact that it's coming.
Yeah. It's really cool.
So, George, thank you for Jack's going to love it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to derail everything, but we were talking about
games. This is really interesting.
God, this thing is awesome. Yeah. I think Jack will want one. Watch.
Yeah, probably. Jack wants everything.
Honestly, but if we get to the stage where Jack is aware of this thing and it's cool enough that he wants it, then Valve have scored a huge victory.
Yeah. He's a bit of a gamer, but not much. We just got Ratchet and Clank, A Rift Apart on the PS5, which is one of the most incredible games I've ever seen.
Well, but other than that, you have to see what feedback he gets from his Twitch channel about whether he wants a Steam Deck. he's got a Twitch channel. Right?
Console hardware is good now. PS5 and new Xbox, man. It's good stuff. And you can't really buy GPUs for PC gaming. So
that's right.
I mean,
because all those Bitcoin miners.
I've been selling my used ones on eBay for way too much money. I sold a Vega 64 for $600. I bought a brand new for $400 like 5 years ago or so. Whenever it was. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If you talk to
the game's good.
Friend of the show, Martin Wimpress, who is just a lunatic about GPUs. He's got these amazing like external plug-in things that he was explaining to me, and I'm like, what? I don't understand any of this. How's it all work? It's really interesting stuff.
Yeah, cool.
It's good.
Cool. Well, George, it was great having you on. Yeah. Yeah, we always love you to come on. We always there's two people who we rotate between. It's you and Popey, and we always enjoy having you on the show.
Do you all ever do four? I would love to. Like, I haven't been with Popey on like a high bandwidth thing.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's get both of you.
Can you permanently fire Jeremy?
Let's do five.
No, I don't want the commitment. I don't want the commitment. Never mind.
No, we should do one with you and Popey and the three of us. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it will be. I appreciate it, listeners.
Alan, if you're listening to this, we promise we'll actually ask you at some point rather than just assuming you're going to show up.
We will command him.
He's being voluntold. It's open source.
He is. So, nice. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to Bad Voltage. Jeremy, we'll be back next time. Go to the community as usual. Share your thoughts. We'd love to hear what you think about the Steam Deck. About Tesla or whatever. I'm very excited.
Go and install the Bay Community app.
Yeah, hopefully your Tesla will be auto driving, so you know someone's going to get in an accident. Totally a matter of time.
Someone else.
Someone else, not
hopefully not me.
Hopefully not me.
Bastards.
All right, thanks everyone, and have a good day.
Bye everyone.